Feeling better, looking better, making life better. It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the Life Tips Show, everyone. I'm here with Tim Ash. Tim, welcome.
Thanks, Byron. Glad to be on the show.
Tim, you are an entrepreneur, an author, and one hell of a guy. Let's tackle all three of those if we could. And full disclosure for the fans in the audience, Tim, you're a great friend of mine, and it's really an honor to have you here today. You're such an accomplished person. We're going to dive into that and really talk about entrepreneurial life. Now, tell us about the start of Site Tuners. And I assume, by the way, that's your first company you started, although you might have had five other success stories. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, actually, it's the third company I started, all with the same business partner. So I've been on the entrepreneurial roller coaster for about 20 years since 2005, mm-hmm. or sorry, 1995, rather. Lost a decade there, see how long it's been. And we started out as an interactive agency helping to build websites. Then we got into pay-per-click marketing. Then we saw the rise of the affiliate space and basically driving our own traffic using our own money to landing pages and getting paid on a performance basis. And that kind of naturally led to the fact that we were sending good quality traffic to crappy landing pages, and we realized that the real business opportunity wasn't in being a super affiliate or driving traffic. It was in fixing all of those ugly babies out there, all those poor converting experiences. So my company, Site Tuners, basically helps companies of all sizes all around the world across all industries improve the efficiency of their websites or their landing pages.
The first two companies you started, what were the names of those companies, and did they morph into Site Tuners, or did they sort of crash and burn much like many things I've started?
Well, the first was called Future Focus, and it was a .com incubator and accelerator. And this, again, mid-90s, so we were helping companies launch new .coms. We'd take stock positions in them. We would act as acting CTO on their management team till we helped them get their first rounds of financing. And then, of course, the whole .com bubble burst, and we said, well, what can we do that what we've learned to do that still works? And that was accountable marketing. That's how we got into pay-per-click marketing. So the second company was called Epic Sky, and it was about managing large pay-per-click campaigns. And the nice thing about that is you could show ROI. You could show, hey, I'm making you money. Keep paying me so I can keep making you more money. And that was a very defensible kind of thing.
When you look back on your experience as an entrepreneur and how things developed and morphed from one to the other, do you have any tips or advice for any listeners on how you were able to find and discover this company, Site Tuners, which is obviously a smash hit and growing like crazy? What nuggets did you pick up along the way from these first two companies?
I'd say there are two things that matter. One is perseverance. I mean, this is a marathon. You're not going to be successful out of the gate. At least I wasn't. I think a lot of people, the ones that you think are, probably had some failures behind them. And I know that in Silicon Valley, they always look for the bloodied entrepreneur that's had a failure or two under their belt. And that way they know that they're battle tested and will invest in them. It's the same thing. Don't expect overnight success. It might take you years or decades, in my case, to get even a modicum of it. And the other thing is we probably changed business models or businesses half a dozen times fundamentally along the way. So you have to be ready, like a military leader is like, oh, look, someone cut my leg off. I still have to complete the mission. You know, so you have to make deal with what you have and go do something else. And if you see an opportunity, you have to place big bets on it and pivot the whole company, as much as I hate the word pivot. And it's overused, but you have to really, really think of what's the market telling me? Where's the opportunity? How do I change my business model? What kind of companies do I sell to? What are the services or products? Everything should always be up for reconsideration.
What's the biggest mistake you've made in your illustrious migration to success?
Oh, geez. Where do I start? Well, one of the early ones for sure was holding on to people too long. You know, we had some very volatile times, and I would try to build teams and we're all a family and we're going to hold hands and sing Kumbaya. But then when the big projects go away, I held people on the payroll too long out of personal loyalty and things like that. And I also cut my own salary while paying other people, which in retrospect doesn't make a lot of sense, but out of that same misguided loyalty. So now I'd say I'd fire faster. Not because they're bad people, but if, you know, your contracts go away, your business goes away, you got to right-size the business at every stage so you're not bleeding cash or putting yourself personally in a bind.
On the opposite extreme, what's the greatest move that you made to advance even your current business?
I'd say that was probably writing the first edition of my landing page optimization book by Online Marketing Standards. It's a bit of a runaway success, actually, between the two editions now. It came out with the second one. It's probably sold well over 50, 60,000 copies worldwide. So I'm very proud of that, and it's definitely jump-started our business, and our reputation was solidified, along with the follow-on conversion conference series that I started.
Perfect. With your first book, how long did it take you to create that mammoth piece of paper, stack of paper that you drop on a desk and it shakes the ground a little bit? It's a very voluminous and wonderful book. I've read it, and thanks so much. How long did it take, and how did you decide to get into that?
The opportunity was brought to me. My buddy Avinash Kaushik, whom everybody pretty much knows, one of the leaders in web analytics and thought leadership around accountable marketing, he was writing a book for a division of Wiley Press, and they were looking for someone to write a book on what at the time was Google Website Optimizer, this testing tool, free testing tool that Google came out with. And so they asked me if I would be interested in doing that because my company was one of the authorized agencies for that tool. And I said, well, that tool is going to be obsolete and change the moment you write a paper book about it. Why don't I talk about the broader subject of conversion rate optimization and landing page optimization, and then we'll do an appendix on the tool. And so I basically pitched that book idea to Wiley and flipped it on its head, and they accepted. And so it was due to that introduction by Avinash.
Can you just confirm with me that writing books makes absolutely no money, but can offer lots of reward in other ways? Can you talk about some of the reward you think you've gotten from the book and is how that's rolled out?
Well, there's no question that handing someone a book, and while we're still killing trees, a hand-signed copy of a book is very powerful. We do it routinely as part of our sales process, and the opportunity to get extra exposure at conferences or I speak by doing a book signing or a book giveaway is very, very powerful. I mean, writing the book itself was probably the most painful thing I've ever gone through, short of the death of my dad, you know, but this is really a horrid experience. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, but was it worth it? Absolutely. Over the years, it's paid off in spades.
Tell me a little bit about self-publishing. What's your take on people that cannot obviously get a contract with a Wiley or any other major publishers out there? You think self-publishing is worth the effort to get your name in print in a self-published format?
Yeah, it depends on what your goal is. If it's to grow your business, again, that thunk of the book, as light or heavy as it is, is what matters. So from that sense, nobody cares who published it. If it's a reputation kind of book, it did matter to me because it was an established publisher. But the publishing business is going through convulsions and is dying a violent death. A lot of things are changing. So self-publishing is increasingly a viable option. The publisher's traditional role of editing and things like that can be kind of outsourced now, and you can hire freelance editors to help you write it. As far as promoting the book, unless you're J.K. Rowling's or the author of The Hunger Games, they're not exactly going to set up a book tour for you. So if you're already a self-promoter, an agency head, or a public figure like I am, that's what the publishers actually look for. So I'm questioning the value add that traditional publishers have. If you're going to promote your book, then you might as well get most of the financial benefit of it as well.
I want to focus on your big brain for a second and ask you some questions about your knowledge source, if you will. What do you surf, Tim? You know, when you're gaining some knowledge, maybe for your upcoming conference that you're hosting, or you know, these other aspects of our life that we need to always be in tune. Where do you surf? What do you look at? What inspires you?
Well, I do quite a bit of I look at Twitter, I look at Facebook, and by being connected to the right people, you kind of notice, you know, they just surface things and that appears on your radar depending on what hashtags you follow on Twitter and so on. I also read quite a bit of traditional books. I find that a lot more care goes into them. Yeah, it's great to see that blog post, 7 biggest mistakes when optimizing your e-commerce checkout. Okay, great. But, you know, how deep can you really go in a blog post? So I think the deeper thinking is still in books. And so I probably read a book a month on online marketing topics. I also think live events are critical to hear thought leaders speak. Even if you just pick up that nugget one time, that can be very powerful in changing your whole mindset or view on something. Is like opening up, you scratch a little something and it opens up in this whole universe that you didn't know was there. And you don't pick that up until it's in tone of voice, it's inflection, it might be a side conversation you have at a conference. I'm a real big believer in live events.
Tell us about your live event. How much time and energy and effort do you have to put into running Conversion Conference? And tell us a little bit about the conference for starters and your next one.
Yeah, we started the conference 5 years ago. We've had events all over the U.S. and in Europe, San Jose, Chicago, Washington, San Francisco, New York, you name it, Chicago. And we've decided that we're, instead of 3 events a year in the U.S., we're going to focus on one big mega event. So we expanded it. We want to have more tracks and more people. We're going to probably double the size. So the next one is in Las Vegas in the middle of May, May 13th and 14th of 2015. And right now we have really, really enticing early bird rates for it. Basically, if you want to learn from the best and drink from the fire hose on conversion rate optimization, everything from neuromarketing, landing page testing, direct response copywriting, visual design, user-centered design, and specialty sessions for e-commerce or lead generation, you're going to really learn a lot. It's at the Rio in Las Vegas next May.
Terrific. Tell us a little bit about choosing speakers and the agenda, the course, you know, the actual material of sessions that we'll be doing. How do you develop that? How does that all come together?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've as a speaker at other shows, I've seen different formats, everything from open-ended Q&A on conferences to very structured stuff. What we've decided, our show is primarily about two things, education and networking with your peers and really feeling like you're part of a new and exciting industry. On the educational side, I want to get the best people. Often they're practitioners within companies. Other times they're agency heads that do something specialized for a living and see lots of different kinds of client projects. My criteria is that you know what you're doing and you can communicate it. And so we tend to go with just a single speaker for a 45 to 50 minute session instead of a panel where everybody goes an inch wide and a mile wide and an inch deep. And we try to really go in depth and get the best speakers out there.
Let's take a break and go deep with landing page optimization and some questions I have for you there in the book and what you're doing there. Let's take a break, everyone. Back in just a few minutes.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan to talk to you about Bruce Clay Incorporated. They've made Inc. Magazine's list of growing private businesses and have exhibited and sponsored at my conferences since the very beginning. You've seen their search engine relationship chart or you've read their SEO code of ethics, so you know they're SEO experts. But did you know they can help you with PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding? Yep, get everything you need for success in the online marketplace. You can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years with offices worldwide, they've got the answers you need. Check them out today at BruceClay.com.
When you started your business, you first listened to your professors. Now that your business is growing and gaining ground, you only seek out professionals. PPC Professionals, an industry leader for highly optimized search marketing campaigns with over 30 years of combined management experience. Our professional approach to every campaign helps you find every avenue of revenue so that you can not only stay ahead of your competitors, but get a return on your investment and increase your bottom line. PPC Professionals, personal, professional, PPC services. PPCprofessionals.com.
Before you painstakingly create another label or drag yourself to the post office, set a course to ShipStation, your key to e-commerce shipping nirvana. Save time by easily importing orders from wherever you sell, like Amazon, eBay, and over 40 others. Save money with discounted USPS rates and a free USPS account. Automate manual tasks through bulk label and invoice printing, custom shipping rules, and much more. WebmasterRadio.fm listeners get an additional 30 days free after the free 30-day trial. Go to ShipStation.com/WebmasterRadio now. Shipping Nirvana starts here.
BubbleFast burst onto the e-commerce scene as a family-owned shipping supply provider back in 1999. The product line has grown, but Mark and Robin still own and operate BubbleFast as a family business. Being sellers themselves has taught them what online sellers need to safely and affordably deliver their products to their customers. BubbleFast is proud to be an active member of the community of online sellers. Mark and Robin sponsor seller meetup groups, share shipping tips and tricks through social media, and always love talking to customers and helping solve shipping challenges. Check out the website at bubblefast.com. Sign up for the Bubble Briefs newsletter to join the Bubble Fast family. Use promo code WMR to get a 5% discount, or call Mark and Robin at 877-599-7447. Happy shipping from Mark and Robin at Bubble Fast.
There are over 70 million active podcast listeners in the U.S. WebmasterRadio.fm reaches them all with the largest global distribution of any online business-to-business podcast network. Through iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, and the WebmasterRadio.fm mobile app, we can target and place your message in front of those active listeners immediately. Now, your message can be delivered with less commitment and investment on over 20 hours of weekly original content hosted by the most respected names in digital marketing, thanks to an exclusive private offer available for a very limited number of companies. But you must act fast. Email sales@webmasterradio.fm today and get your message delivered now.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the Life Tips Show. Byron here. Tim, welcome back.
Thanks, Byron. Enjoying it very much.
Landing page optimization. That's a burly topic for you to take on. Tell us some latest and greatest secrets and wisdom that that you're finding with how this incredible profession is changing.
Wow. Well, I'd say that, you know, again, when I started the Conversion Conference 5 years ago, I wrote my book, my first edition back in 2008, it wasn't a field. It was an activity. There were search engine optimizers, there are affiliate managers, there are web developers, there are established job categories in online marketing. Conversion rate optimization, which is kind of the newer term for landing page optimization, wasn't a field yet. And now I'm proud to say that it's an established industry, that a lot of the people coming to the Conversion Conference have that as their primary job responsibility or even in their job title. I also see a lot of the tools getting better for everything from landing page testing to user research. We put together a website, incidentally, which your listeners should check out, called conversionninjatoolbox.com. That's conversionninjatoolbox.com. That has about 500 or 600 companies at this point that are all related to conversion rate optimization. So if you want to get some great ideas for tools and what you should be using, go there. It's a free directory of all the conversion, the whole ecosystem, if you will.
Very cool. Tell us, I'd like to have a debate with you for a second. You know that I'm an old school branding guy and I believe in building a strong brand.
I do.
But the concept of a single landing page and optimizing that page is difficult for branding people to wrap their head around. How has the whole funnel process and the way we look at conversion changed, Tim, particularly in the last few years and even few months for that matter?
Well, I think, again, the title of my book originally was because that landing page optimization came about because that was the term Google was really pushing. And I think the proper term for the industry is conversion rate optimization, making whatever you do on your website more efficient. So to me, it's not a standalone landing page. It could be that, or it could be microsite or even important pages on your site where lots of traffic lands on the way to a business goal that you can measure and has value to you. So anything from where you land to where you actually complete the action, whether it's an e-commerce checkout or a form fill or a download or registration, all of that, that whole path is ripe for optimization. So don't think of it as standalone pages.
Tell us about mobile and what's happening with conversion rate optimization within the mobile sphere.
Well, okay, so next year's the year of mobile. No, I'm just kidding. Actually,
yeah, haven't we been saying that for 5 years now?
Yeah, actually, last year was the year of mobile. If you're not doing mobile, you're late to the party. In fact, I hate to say it, shoemaker's children always go barefoot, but we're deploying our first mobile version of our website soon here. Too busy doing client work. But I'd say, yeah, mobile is critical. The thing that most people, the mistake that most people make is they do what I call responsive light. I mean, there's a lot of talk about responsive design. And so your website should work on everything from your old BlackBerry to an 80-inch, high definition 4K TV. That's not likely. Just stretching things and snapping things to single columns, that's not the point. I really believe that on mobile, we have to take the context into account. People are even more kind of attention deficit disorder, if you will. They're more distracted. They have less time. They care more about time-sensitive, high-pressure things or things around them in the physical environment and their location. So you have to fundamentally rethink your website and say, what tiny subset of that should be my mobile experience? You shouldn't just be trying to reformat the same old crap into a single-column website.
Do you think visuals will begin to have more and more of an impact on conversion rate, the optimization, and betterment? Are we becoming more visual, and are you seeing that impact both in the mobile and the traditional web sense?
I think that the human brain, 90% of the information coming into the brain and about 50% of the brain hardware is devoted to visual processing. No question that's our dominant sense. We experience life as a 3D movie, if you will. So we've always known about the power of visuals, but I think it's just the opposite, that we don't need more visuals, we need less, or we need them properly deployed. My big axe to grind is I see a lot of visual designers that are not focused on conversion, and they'll put all these visual boogers and embellishments and Baroque elements on their page that completely undermine and distract from the intended call to action. And especially if you're talking about any kind of motion, whether it's swipes, fades, dissolves, sliders, autoplay videos, you have to be really, really careful with that stuff. I call motion in your visual space the nuclear option. I mean, nothing's going to withstand the blast radius. So if you have more subtle stuff on the page, it's not going to get picked up on.
Where's UX playing the role these days, in your opinion? User experience design, particularly.
Yeah. User experience is critical. I've always I started out in the 1980s at UC San Diego, which is a top research university, and Don Norman, who's back there now leading a design program, literally wrote the book on user-centered design. And the basic idea is still fundamentally sound, which is there's no such thing as a perfect system out there. The question is it perfect for its intended purpose from the perspective of your visitor? And I think it's even after 30 years of crying in the wilderness, most people still design from their company's viewpoint and not their visitor's viewpoint. So it's a huge need for good user experience people. And it's broadened out, I think, beyond the actual website to all the touch points. So we talk about customer experience or the customer's or the buyer's journey. And that could be across the phone, your chat, if your physical store, if you're a brick and click retailer. So all of those things matter because they're all touch points around your brand. There, I said it, Byron, brand.
Yeah. Tell us about SiteTuners. I want to conclude with some thoughts from you there. How are you measuring the success from an entrepreneurial perspective? Are you looking at numbers weekly for your performance? Are you reviewing KPIs with your teammates? What's driving entrepreneurial success for you, Tim?
Well, I think it's a level of, I would say, operational maturity. As boring as that sounds, it's all of those things you're talking about. I think most of us, Gerber's fantastic book, The E-Myth, point out, start a company in a fit of entrepreneurial frenzy. Like, I can do that better than my boss. What do I need him for? But we don't put in the systems around it. We don't work on the business. We work in the business as a practitioner of whatever craft or service that we offer. So by putting in all those, what's the project profitability, standardizing all of our materials, all of our workflow, basically processizing the work of an agency doing complex stuff, we've gotten a lot more reliable kind of outcomes for our clients and more predictable, less wear and tear in the client relationship as well and interface with our people. So I think the operational stuff is what makes or breaks an agency, and that's what we're focusing on.
Where do you think you'll be in say 2 to 5 years from now with SiteTuners? Are you planning that far ahead?
Absolutely. There are a couple of key things there. One is that I'm known in the field of conversion rate optimization, but I don't want it to be the Tim Show. So we're developing lots of other voices of people contributing to our content marketing and thought leadership and speaking in conferences. I really want to grow the people in the agency to stand up and represent and have – they're the ones doing the work. They often have a much deeper knowledge of it than I do, because I just work on some of our strategic larger accounts these days. So they're more in the trenches, and I want to – enable the careers of all the people working and show the people that work at SiteTuners that there's a path for them to continue to learn and grow. There's no topping out.
I guess finally, who do you want to get to? Who do you want to hear from, Tim? Between your shows and your books and your everything else under the sun, who would you like to reach out to you in the audience?
And by the way, Byron, as you know, I also do a show on Webmaster Radio called Landing Page Optimization. It's a biweekly interview show, and we're really looking for folks that are at the top of their game in conversion, and that's a really broad discipline. So it could be people in direct response copywriting. It could be user experience people, conversion-focused visual designers. But most of the focus these days is for us on neuromarketing and understanding the latest in brain research, how people make decisions. And it's subconscious and it's irrational and it doesn't make sense. And all of us, as logical as we like to think we are, can be easily swayed by a few relatively easy tricks, because our brains take shortcuts and they'll continue to do that because it keeps the cognitive load down. So we're studying the wetware of the brain, not the hardware or the software of the technology.
Great having you on the show today, Tim. Thanks so much.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure.
Until next week, everybody, I hope your life is a little smarter, better, faster, and wiser, and more conversive. Thanks for tuning in.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.